Hey friends, this is Rob, and welcome to the very first installment of a brand new series that I'm so pumped to be introducing to the podcast. I'm calling these episodes, How Was Your Trip? First and foremost, the main purpose of this is that it's pure selfishness on my part. I adore those magical post-trip conversations, whether I just got back from a trip and I'm telling a friend all about it, or I'm asking them about theirs. Now, I already have these conversations all the time with my friends, but I wanted to start sharing some of them with you in the hopes that it fuels your curiosity about the world and maybe even inspires your travel dreams or even your next trip abroad. Kicking it off on St. Patrick's Week, it only feels right to dive into Ireland. Wait. Okay, new segment. I feel like it needs its own special theme song. Let's try this. That's not right. That's definitely not from my music library at all. Let's try this. I took a walk through this beautiful world. Felt the cool rain. Yeah, that song's already been used. Gotta love Bourdain and Queens of the Stone Age. All right, how about this one?
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the takeoff. Thank you.
Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime.
Okay, before we dive into number one of this segment, Sarah's making tea in the kitchen. Right before we started recording, Sarah goes, ugh, what do you want?
As I saw the microphone. Here I am just having a nice moment in my hardworking day.
Podcast ambush! Okay, I am pumped about these segments. It's one of those things where I have no idea where they're going to go, but after recording this first one, I'm even more excited than I was beforehand. I wanted to give a little backstory to this idea, and the thought is, actually, let's talk about this. It is so rare. I said this a second ago on the podcast where I love those, to me, they're magical conversations. How many times have we sat with our friends Mark and Mary after we get back from Europe or they get back from a trip and we sit down over a beer and they just go, okay, tell me everything. So what'd you think about the place? You know what I mean?
Hey, you get there. They like us to start at the beginning. Your first day, you arrive.
Yeah.
You. And there's so few people that give a shit about that.
I do. This is a side note, but I do feel like one of the most selfless gifts you can give to someone is to be excited about something in their life that benefits you in zero way. It's totally just something they're pumped about. And I feel at first, I thought doing that and asking questions about someone's trip was that. Oh, it's selfish. It's selfish? Hey, it's selfish. It's selfish is a new thing. Actually, that's perfect. It is very selfish for me. I can't talk real goods. I should have more podcasting in my life. No, a selfish. Here's the new definition of that because I'm just freaking rolling with it. My new definition is it's something that starts off that you think is altruistic and selfless. I'm doing this for them. And as you do it, you realize that it's a ton of enjoyment for you and you're getting something out of it too.
I agree, but I will throw in, I'm not sure this is the right place, but
podcast, we should really break this down.
I feel like I like to hear in detail about people's trips, but I've also maybe had people offer up a whole meal's worth of information, a whole dinner, talking about every minute detail.
Yes.
And then I feel like I'm just like attacked, like, whoa, not like bad attacked, but you know.
Well, yes, because that is
art, there's dance to it, I think.
There's totally dance because on one hand, so that's the far extreme side. And that is where I could see someone be like, okay, you're just going to listen to someone's travel stories. Yeah. That would fall into that side. But the other side of the spectrum is how many times I have so many personal, extremely close friends that just aren't curious. They may, whether it's not curious about the details of what gets us excited in our experiences, or just not curious about world travel. That's not a priority in their life.
I also think, I mean, there's multiple reasons I like hearing about people's travel stories. One, I care about them and I'm curious. But I think another reason why I'm interested, especially in like-minded friends who travel similarly, is, well, I might go there someday. So if you don't love travel or think you can travel, then that's never in your brain. So you're never like, oh, I want to add that to my Google Maps, because you're never going to get there.
Yes. Hell yes. My hope in this is to find that balance in the spectrum, to dive into those things in the hope that it fuels someone's curiosity about the world around them and maybe even inspires their travel dreams and goals. Or maybe you're thinking about going to Ireland here soon and this could get you excited about that. You're looking at me funny. What are you thinking?
I was just thinking that you gesticulate more when you're recording yourself than as a normal talker.
My hands are flying. So this is episode test number one, and I thought it would be a blast to sit down with my good friends, artists, musicians, songwriters, Owen and Elsa. They have a passion. This is not the first time they've been to Ireland. They love it, the culture. I share that kindred spirit with them. But they've taken it further where they are now organizing trips for other people, friends. So if you want to dive into, check them out more. I'm going to put a link in the show notes below, or their website is called IrelandPubCrawls.com. So link to all the stuff we talk about in the podcast below. If you want to find any of their music or more about them, again, I'm going to put links to all that in the show notes below. Sarah's leaving. I'm rambling. This is taking way too long. Let's dive into it. They just got back from a trip from Ireland a couple weeks ago. I've got a million questions, but let's start with the first and most obvious one. How was your trip?
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Yeah, this guy's.
This is perfect, and this week, especially with the Irish stuff, is giving me like the spur in to do this. And what I want to get to is, you guys are doing these tours in Ireland. Have you done any other tour stuff outside of Ireland?
Yeah, well, he's done Scotland. And
Scotland.
Then
okay. Did Italy.
Italy, yeah.
Oh, geez. So you've done multiples.
Yeah. But it all started as just a friend trip to Ireland, and it was 14 of us because it was cheaper to rent a castle. And,
yes.
You know, my buddy and I are like, you know, let's go to Ireland. Great. Let's go to Ireland. Should anybody come with us? And then we just started looking. I said, you know, if we can get 14 people,
yeah,
we can rent this castle and the coach house next door, and it's cheaper than hotels, and we all get to have our own space.
Yes.
And so that's how it all started, and that was 07.
Like, where'd that idea for, like, getting other people outside of your close friend group? Mm-hmm.
He had been doing this for, like, 15 years maybe,
yeah,
by the time I went on a trip. And so then my first trip, it was probably like 25, 26 people. And every time he's done a trip, they've done some kind of show in a pub. And
see?
Yes, right?
Yeah, that's so badass.
Well, and so I'm like, this is shortly after we get started writing the Elska stuff. And so I'm like, okay, like performing the original stuff was already a little bit nerve-wracking because, like, I'm used to doing covers in the corner of a bar where nobody's actually paying attention. But I was like, I don't know really how to navigate this super well. So we went into this pub and did this gig, and all this little town came out to listen to whatever we were trying to do. And they stopped and they were listening. They were actually listening to the stories of the music that we had tried to write. And I was like, oh my gosh, they actually care about what I have to say. And like, they care about the music part of
it.
Like, and that was addicting. I was I want this forever and ever and ever. And I'm like, I don't want to go home.
People listening to music actually. This happens places.
Right. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So that's what it was for me, that I was like, there is something special in this place and I need to figure it out. So you had been talking about, like,
I've been flying, you know, just thinking about turning it into a business thing.
Yeah.
I didn't really think it would ever turn into that, but I got a call from Mary Gibbons. It was late their time.
Yes.
And she said, I'm going to call you. So we WhatsApped and we called, And she sort of grilled me, like, what are you doing and how many people and how long have you been doing this? And
oh, she's from Ireland.
Yeah, she's in Dublin. She does okay. Newgrange tours, incredible tours of Newgrange and Hill-Terra. Oh. And so we did the tour with her. Yeah. She said, when we're done, I'm going to take you into the bar and we're going to talk. So we had a drink and she started writing things down for me to say, look, there's a market for what you're doing. Other people want this too.
Yeah.
And there is a living to be made doing it. So she sort of, you know, you get how many people, okay, this many people, this many days. And she wrote a number down and said, this is what you're leaving on the table.
Oh.
And when I saw that and I realized, you know, it's a lot of work in the front end to do these things. But when I realized, you know, for 9 days or something on the ground that it paid better than music.
Yeah.
Which, what doesn't?
Well, but, yeah. You know, and comparing that especially to if you were doing the same route and playing, like setting up, like I said a second, like a tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%, especially right now. That's okay.
The other thing though too is that people who have been invited into these friend trips and who have gone on these friend trips have told you, I've witnessed it, how much people have told you that these kinds of things have changed their life. Not only like being able to do trips that they wouldn't normally be able to do, but like building the relationships and experiencing cool things with people in the place where like this was something that not only was it another like revenue stream, it was something that like when we were talking about it, it was like, this is something that we can give to people, like this kind of an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been thinking about that lately. Like the like usefulness has been a big thing I've just been mulling over lately, whether it's like you're a musician and you're putting up a website. Like everybody thinks, well, this is a place to brag about. No, it's a place to show how useful you can be to an artist or a band or something like that. And I feel like it'd be really easy to overlook that. If I was thought about doing like a tour, the first thing that go through my mind is like, okay, here's where I want to go. Like, here's what I want to do. I'm going to make this about me. But then you start like the useful side of this is like, okay, who would be coming on this? Like someone either you're making it easier for them to do it or they wouldn't know how to do it or I don't know, a number of whatever reasons someone else would book a tour instead of book a trip themselves.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think international travel especially can be really intimidating to people. And like, you want to go to a place, but you don't really know where to start and you've done it so many times that like you have a very useful skill set. And I just had a huge motivation to get back there as much as I possibly could. So when we started talking about what this would look like, I'm like, I will help however I can to get this off the ground so that I can go and make music there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at this point I can smell what the Dublin airport smells like. It's so burned in, you know?
Yes. That is so interesting that you said about it is like, especially your first international trip, it is such a hurdle. And I feel like I've been thinking about with the podcast, I've been talking a lot more about travel because it's something I'm just like, well, if I'm doing this, I'm going to just talk about the things that are most important to me.
Sure.
And that's one of the coolest things that I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. But I notice to a lot of people that listen that haven't gone on a trip themselves, it almost seems like a bragging thing or like the thought of traveling internationally is like somewhere over there.
Sure.
Literally over there.
Yeah.
And there's a wall of knowledge and huge finances to get me there.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's the hurdle, right?
Yeah.
When I started doing this thing, that was the one thing that I wanted to make sure of is that for my friends, price was never going to be the thing that made them say, I can't go. And so
I love that.
Right. But you have to be careful then. So when you're finding accommodations, you don't look at hotels, you look at where a group of houses is. So one time I had four different houses in one town and I was lucky to find out through three separate rental sites that three houses next door to one another were all available. And that trip was 42 people.
Oh, geez.
So you see what I'm saying?
Oh,
Like there's so much to consider, but if you can make that happen, we're staying in mansions for, you know, less than for like $100 a room a night.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? Like if you can take the time to find the right place, and you have to remember that when you're traveling with people, it is just as important to deepen the relationship with the people that you're mm-hmm. traveling with as it is to meet the locals.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you're, yeah. you know, there are people that will sort of fight me on this, but when I put pictures up on this wall, right, and you look around and see all the stuff, there are a couple of photos of the Cliffs of Moher.
Yeah.
And you know, some scenic things, but it's the people.
Yeah.
That's why they're up there. Those are the memories that I wanted to keep.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. That, did that count? Was that like all, like day one when you first started doing like your friend trip? Was mm-hmm. that really apparent to you, or is that something you had to like, that took you a while to learn? Because for me, I feel like even, especially like Sarah and I were total shit at that. Mm-hmm. We'd go on a trip. I think about our first time to Ireland and meeting people, or like that, like, generosity and conversation at a pub mm-hmm. to start up, and instead, like, we're on a trip together, so we're here to be together mm-hmm. and not connect. And I feel like with other people that were there yeah. to actually meet, and it took us a few trips to go, oh, that's where the real like memories and relationships come from.
So in 2000 and
that was the longest freaking way to ask a question.
In 2003, so my dad passed 20 years ago.
Okay.
And my mother had always wanted to go to Ireland. My dad was afraid of flying. And something that he told me before he died was that he wanted to make sure that my brother and I took my mom to Ireland. And at that point, I wasn't really planning trips or anything. So we had a local friend.
But you're the world traveler of the family. You've
well,
already got,
well, yeah. Well, I wasn't at the time.
At the time you weren't? Okay, no, yeah.
And so there were six of us that went to Athlone as a home base and did some really cool stuff. That, I think, realizing that we were there to build that bond with my mom must have had some impact on me.
Yeah.
Because it was a few years later when we decided, let's try to get 14 people together. And we had no idea we were turning it into a thing. We just thought it was a trip. But what happened, there's a community that sort of developed on that trip where, God, I mean, it was mayhem. And at a certain point, somebody said, you know, we need to give each other Delta Tau Chi names, which is from Animal House. So everybody started earning a name
yeah.
based on yeah. something terrible that you that, did.
Or, okay. Or, you know, yeah. The more terrible, the better.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of how that family started. And one of the people on the trip made a movie of all of our footage.
Oh.
And that was the end. Everybody that saw that movie oh, yeah. was like, well, when are we going?
Yeah.
And that was the rockets that it just took off from there. And it was 42 the next trip and 46 the one after that.
Jeez.
So it was huge. There have been like 150 people on these trips over the years.
That is crazy.
Mostly return.
Yeah.
But... you know, some people have only been on one.
Yeah. That's interesting. I love that thought. There are a couple of thoughts I love in that are, one is the, I don't know. I just feel like lately a big red flag for me in like, whether it's okay, let's music, for example, that we all have in mm-hmm. common. Like I want to be this. I want to make this thing first instead of the thing that you're doing is the point. Mm-hmm. Like we're not going to Ireland to form this company so that we can make mm-hmm. money doing right. it. It's like, you're doing this thing, which is the point. And the point of more trips is the trips are more the point.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. And so I like that. And the other thing is I'm just thinking about like, man, the freaking unlocking a door for people and experiences, especially now that you've been there. Now someone gets instant like, oh, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Like the comfort that comes with that for someone.
We've had that. We've had people say, literally say, I don't even look at the guide that you send
literally.
Us.
Oh, literally. Yeah.
I don't look yes. at the guide. I know when to show up.
Last night, we were meeting with somebody who's coming on a trip in the fall, and her mother was with us, and Owen said to the mother, oh, don't worry, we're going to keep them safe and whatever. And she looked at us, and she had been on a trip in the fall, and she's going again, and she's like, it never even occurred to me that I wouldn't be safe with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, you do such a good job of making sure that people know where they're going, know what they're doing in a way that they're like, I'm good. I don't need to worry about this. But I think what you were saying, it's like, it's making sure that you keep your priorities straight. Like the yes. why is consistent. The why is to experience something cool with people you love or people that you want to build relationships with, not to like get something out of it. Like, I don't yeah. know, monetarily or, you know,
God.
Something like
yeah, I don't care.
With that kind of expectation, it's like, no, we're just trying to build relationships, which I think is the thing that I love so much about the most recent trip was it was just open time, no real itinerary, just to like sit and hang out in pubs and listen to music. And
if you want to know where we vacation, in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, when we're working, we take people to Ireland. When we vacation, we go to Ireland.
Totally. Have you been flying back? Do you go there as a group and then all fly the same flight back? Or will you stay a little bit longer to kind of like decompress afterwards?
We'll extend.
Okay,
we'll extend the trip. But usually it's because we want to find a new place. The last time we did an extension, we went to, we explored sort of different areas of Cork and went to Waterford.
Yes.
To find things like if our job is to create something, like if there's a couple or a group or whatever and they want to do certain things, my duty is to go to the different places and go, what is it that that place offers? And if it matches up, then I know. And luckily I've done it a whole bunch and I've been to a whole bunch of places, but like, that's the point. Do you ever watch Parks and Rec?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So remember when Leslie Knope is planning a birthday party for Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
And he's freaking out. And she gets him into a room and it's a bottle of Lagavulin and a steak and all the stuff. And he's like, I thought all this stuff. She's like, why would I throw Ron Swanson and Ann Perkins party? That's how I think about all of these trips. Mm-hmm. You know, it does, because I don't want an incentive. The only incentive I want is that this is the trip that they are thinking of in their minds. They don't know how to do it, but this is what's up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a blast to.
Oh, dude.
Brainstorm us.
You saying that right now made me think, oh yeah, your job is to be an Ireland sommelier. Like, hell, you know what I mean? Like, that's your
job.
Can
I say shit on you?
Hell yeah. Okay. Shit, yes. No fuck. That's off limits.
Okay. So I won't say fuck.
But like, how can you, first of all, you're not going to, or like offer someone a wine that you're feeling right now. Your job is to be like, all right, what are you feeling? I'm going to suggest that. And how the hell can you suggest somebody a bottle of wine that you've never tasted before? Or at least have like direct knowledge from somebody you trust. That's like, I haven't tasted this before, but here's what you can expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you either have that information.
That's
what you
such
know.
A great comparison. Yeah. I had never thought about that.
No, that's perfect.
But that's all, that is.
Can I steal that?
Oh, please.
That.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that, not because it's my idea, but I love that you're doing that and you just naturally think that way. Like, all right, we're going to go off and find these spots and think how that can be enjoyable to other people.
Well, and as it's shifted into the business, when you and I were like figuring out how are we going to actually do this and how are we going to make sure that we know what the people who are trying to do this trip, what do they actually want? And so then like throughout trial and error, we've established like, kind of like a little survey and then generally a Zoom conversation if they're, or sometimes it's like at the Prodigal, you know, over an actual pint. But
that's
just
my
like,
favorite.
That's my favorite too.
Oh man, what a bias. It's like, you're drinking Guinness, talk about the fact you might be able to drink Guinness there if you join our trip.
Yep. Well, and it's so fun punch. Because we talk about the things that we love and they talk about the things that they love or that they're excited about. And but it's exactly like what you're talking about. Like, what is it that you want? And like, digging into it well before we even start thinking about like, what is it that you want? Like, do you want pubs? Do you want history? Do you want nature? Do you want all of the above?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something I've gotten really particular about, again, like music and what we're talking about being questions. Like, okay, if your job, all of our jobs, no matter what we're doing, is to be as relaxed and knowledgeable and at ease as possible, because that's exactly what you're saying earlier, then everybody else is like, oh, I wouldn't even think to be nervous because you're so comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. They know your experience. So that's the same with like music as like a subbing, like backing musician or something to do that. But I feel like the next step of the asking questions, I think that gets lost on people in that people think, well, questions is just to get the answers. But also to me, when you ask questions, by the time you get to later thing and they're asking what's the plan or something, they trust because they know they've been heard.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a subconscious, subversive thing to questions that also puts people at ease. Mm-hmm. So now you've done this thing and they feel like, oh, I've told you everything that I like when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, they feel heard and they're like, you're like, oh yeah, you'll totally fit in with our trip.
Well, and it's fun too, because there's like, there's a spot where it's like, is there anything else that we need to know? And some people will be like, yeah, I struggle with mobility. And some people will be like, yeah, it's our 50th wedding anniversary and we're high school sweethearts. Or, yeah, it's my dream vacation with my son before he graduates from college or whatever it is. And so then we get a little glimpse into why it's important that they are doing this thing. And it's like, it feels like a privilege to be let into people's like dreams, you know? Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I love that.
It's funny when you say it, like, you know, I think about music when you say it like that too. Like, I was just going to say, like, the asking questions and the listening tells that when you're playing with an artist, a singer songwriter or something like that, and you ask the questions like, what's the mood? You know, what am I?
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
What do you require from me? They know that you're not there to be a
diva or something like that.
Yeah, to steal your spotlight.
Yes.
It's not your job.
Yes.
It's not our job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man, that's interesting too. Because I was just having a conversation with that with a wedding band project that I've thought of, that I've been playing with. Mm-hmm. And I've been with my buddy. Do you know Andre Rodriguez? If you guys haven't connected with Andre.
No. Yeah, you introduced us to Andre. He's the keys player, right?
Yes.
Yeah, his brother is
Dan.
Dan.
Yes.
At the fair.
Yes.
He kills.
That guy kills.
Yes. He rules. And so he started a wedding band, and the whole thought behind it was in our lives, we have these tiers of, well, you know, original music is here, and the wedding band, like wedding cover band, is like down here. Which, to a point, I still am like, original music is in whatever realms. That's something about pulling from yourself. That's, I don't think you can top. But what we talk about is, we can't poo-poo it because we're literally on someone's most important day.
Hell yeah.
Or something. We're going to be in the background. We're just the background of someone's pictures that they'll at least remember forever. And so you're the anniversary that someone will never forget.
Right.
Or
it's like it's a service, not in like, not in the traditional service industry way. It's like you're providing something that's integral to a memory. Something that's like going to be a landmark in their life.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the wedding band thing is perfect. It's not even about the couple. That's the funny part. You think that they're the ones hiring you, so it's about them. It's in part about them. Sure, there are a couple of songs that are important, but it's about their guests. Their loved ones are there. There's a public declaration. The loved ones are there. And your job is to make sure that they have the time they're supposed to have. So
that's
actually a really good point.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you're hosting, literally. Mm-hmm. Okay, something I did want to ask you about is what's foreign to me, and I do want to hear where you went this last week, the couple weeks ago, but I still, your guys' connection, like doing shows over there or going for the music, like making it a music forward experience, is still foreign to me.
Okay.
After being there a couple times. Even this last time was the first breakthrough for me that I realized traditional Irish music isn't a cheesy thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
God, are you kidding?
But yeah. Like, I always thought, like, you know, Oktoberfest was like that for me. It's like, well, you don't want to dress up in a traditional Oktoberfest thing because it's almost insulting.
Sure.
You'll look like a tourist.
Yeah.
Same with like Irish traditional music. Ooh, thank you.
Well, that's for sure. Like, we would never go to Ireland and try to play trad music. But I will say, with the way that you're just talking about that, there was one time that we were in Dublin when who was like, he was there for 2 weekends. He was there for like 5.
He was ready to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. There it is.
Oh, it's the best in the world. Who is a super famous? I'm gonna get killed for this. Who is that super famous country guy? Garth Brooks.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there, and it was hilarious because we were just like milling around Dublin, and then there were like the showing of like Daisy Dukes and cowboy boots and like felt
cowboy
hats. Like, I said to Owen, I'm like, this must be how the Irish feel when we dress up on St. Patrick's Day.
They're cosplaying as like, they're LARPing as
the first music lesson I learned. That was the very first lesson I learned in 2007. I was there with some other musician friends and we wanted to play some Irish music.
Yes.
So we learned some, we played it. Do not play Irish music in Ireland. They are better at it in every way.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment for them to hear us fumble through their shit. Yeah. What they do like is American singer-songwriters to come in and do original stuff.
Interesting.
This is what I found fascinating because I thought that that first show that we did was going to
be... Cheers, by the way.
Sanja. Sanja.
Hang on. Priorities. I thought that it was going to be just kind of like a typical bar gig where people aren't really there to listen to your music, but it was a small town and they have the same, you know, rotation of artists that they go through on a weekly basis. And so they were advertising it as like Americans in from out of town. And there was just this like, well, we don't get this in this town. Like, let's go see what all the fuss is about or like if they're worth anything or whatever. But there's, I think, something embedded in their culture about appreciation of music. Because even this last trip, it was this traditional Irish music festival and people are sitting around a table and playing their instruments and it's so much fun and people will just kind of chit chat away and like have fun and there's like a whole vibe that's happening. But as soon as somebody decides that they want to sing something, the whole bar is shushing itself so that everybody is sitting and listening to the story that's being sung.
Yes.
Which... that was the first time that I actually stopped and thought like, oh, this is why people were sitting and listening to the story that I was trying to tell, because there's a different level of engagement in music. And I don't know if it's a respect thing or if it's
it's a sign of respect for sure.
Yeah. And like, and just like an interest in the story and like the vulnerability or I don't know, but it's
like it feels like the ebb and flow of the music is there's the traditional music where everybody is singing and playing together and you can jump in if you have an instrument.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and then there's like, you do a couple of those and then there's a solo thing where someone do their special, their song and try something out. And then it goes back into everybody singing
for
along
sure.
And then somebody else. And I like that. That is interesting and new to me.
But you should know, so the friend group, this larger group, we would always plan a show and it was always great. And it helps that we're bringing a built-in audience.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a blast.
And that they only have to pay us in Guinness.
Yeah. We're cheap dates at that point. They just gave us pints and we played all night and it was awesome. But,
win-win.
Right. That's where our money's going to go anyway. Yeah.
But the business, you know, when we turned it into a business, it wasn't designed for that at all. It was custom stuff for other people. But I have to tell you, I started to get, there were a whole bunch of other circumstances we can get into, but like I started to get selfish. And
interesting. She's not going to turn it off. Okay. Maybe she will.
Because, you know, it's my favorite place and I want to be able to go, be able to go and do something cooler. Last year we went to Northern Ireland and Sligo and stuff. And we decided let's actually make the tour for ourselves and then invite people on it rather than, you know, you have a group of eight, I'm going to help you make that trip.
Yeah.
This is, we're going to have a certain number of slots.
Yeah.
Our focus is to go support their music scene in every place. And then we're going to do at least one, maybe two gigs to entertain at the time. So see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I mean by a music appreciation tour.
Oh, I love that. You're going to go see their thing, not what we're bringing into.
When we went to Sligo, our job was to split up and go find the local musicians and tip them and, you know, and listen.
Yes.
So,
well, and here's something too.
Oh, that's cool.
How small this world is. There was one show that we were at where the sound engineer lived in Minneapolis.
What?
He's born and raised in Ireland. Wait, and he lives in Ireland now. Mark or something. In Glengariff.
Oh, he said, do you know Corey Wong?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
He's like, I was his guitar tech at a show at a certain point. So it's funny. He's like, you're from Minneapolis. It's just funny how it's small.
But not even
world,
just from
right?
Minneapolis in that circle. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. So,
and that's the coolest thing. Then you're there and now you have this interaction.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love that.
Yeah. So now it's an annual thing. So every year we do things. This time we're going to West Cork, back to that small town in Kinsale, and then to Cork to like the best trad session bars.
Really?
They've had a nightly trad session not missing a single day for like the last 28 years or something like that. Like,
see, that is that is what I didn't understand. That there, even if you weren't going, it's not a touristy attraction. Like I would think Irish traditional music is, okay, it's a touristy town. Come in because then we can get people from out of town to come. But if you're not there, they're still doing, love for traditional music.
Absolutely.
And Dubliners tunes and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we experienced on this trip. So the trip that we were on a couple of weeks ago was this music festival that was for traditional Irish music. They just, all of the musicians would come to this little town and play together and have fun together before they're all pulled in a million directions for the tourist season.
Yeah.
And so it's not meant to be a tourist thing.
Yeah, but we showed up anyway.
Quietly in the corner, respectfully.
Yeah.
But just to like witness, like there's such a camaraderie in this industry, in this culture of like, music. And it's so welcoming too, because it was so fun to watch these younger players or these people you could tell were not from Ireland or had Irish heritage, but they mastered their instrument and they wanted to be able to play. And they were so welcoming to people to just step right in. Mm-hmm. And like this woman threw on her dance shoes and started dancing in the middle of the pub and just like, they're just like, they're just
having a good time. You're there just like smiling, like, where am I? Oh, what is going on? I'm in heaven.
Yeah. Oh, it was the best. It was so fun. But it's exactly what you're saying. It's not like a tourist trap gimmicky kind of thing. It's so just ingrained into their culture, because I think they have gone through so much adversity that like music and the pub culture coming together at the end of the day was something that was sustaining to them.
Yes,
absolutely.
Oh man, I feel like that's another hurdle where, especially like whether it's a typical like someone's thought of tourism or an American tourist, like there is another misnomer that is, well, we're intruding somehow at their place. Like we're the tourists in the back or something. It's like, well, no, us being musicians, you know, that anybody playing music is way more pumped with a packed house.
Absolutely.
And if you're there not as like a tourist, what can I get from you? You're there like as a concert goer, essentially.
For sure.
Who the hell's going to not be pumped about that?
You're exactly right. And there was never a moment where we didn't feel welcomed. I just like, I know that this is not designed for us to be there.
Because it's ingrained in you. If you're like me, at least, it's ingrained in me. Like, I don't want to... You know, like be
right. For sure.
You're coming into someone else's country.
You're in their house. Yeah. You are a guest in their in their place.
Yeah.
So be a guest.
Yeah. It works out well that they are some of the most gracious, kind, welcoming people on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you have to think of musicians though in Ireland kind of like you'd think of a tour guide. Like you don't think here, you don't think musician and automatically go, there's a trade there.
Yeah. Interesting.
But it is so tied in with with tourism in Ireland that it is a career.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah.
Well, and pubs will advertise as much as they can, like when they have trad music playing, because they know that it's going to bring people in. I mean, and we'll ask like, do you have music playing tonight? Because we want to go to where the music is.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they've
just like they would here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's not ever something that feels contrived. It's not like,
the kicker. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, pubs will leverage it as people to like get people to their pubs, but it's just like an authentic part of the culture. So it's like, no, we just like, this is a place that's cultivated this.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Like in Doolin.
Yeah.
This tiny, tiny village right by the Cliffs of Moher. This is where this festival happens. One of the best Uilleann pipes, you know, the Irish bagpipe. One of the best players in the world goes there 2 or 3 days a week. And plays in the pub. His name is Blackie O'Connell, and I fanboyed a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry. I fanboyed a little bit because the first time I saw him was in 07. And every time I've seen him since then, I've just been destroyed by how great he is.
It's insane.
He and this guy named Cyril on the bazooki. You
know, yeah.
And then a guy named Owen on the fiddle. They have a trio that modernizes... The stuff.
The fiddle was on a loop and had like pedals tape loopers so much.
And like he had a pedal board bigger than mine.
It is totally pulling traditional Irish music into like the future of like contemporary pop music.
Or
like,
yes,
but they roll. Honestly, it's like saying, you know, Garth Brooks plays this pub in outside of Nashville every Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's that level of what the hell is happening
here. Yes. Yeah, it, just mind-blowing, especially that music is just blazing unison lines and just, it's insane.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Like, it's my, it's some, I probably, some of my absolute favorite music is when it's done well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to be respectful of your time. Let me throw, I've got a few things like I want to pick your brain about. Maybe I'll just like a flash round questions
Let's
for you.
Let's do it.
If this is cool. Okay. One is, give me your opinion. I just keep on constantly getting asked, Guinness in Ireland, is it, does it taste different than here in the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely it does.
Is there a pub culture thing? Is there anything like, any like word of advice? You're walking in and it's like an intimidatingly packed pub and someone's there for the first time. What would you...
Know about the round system. So if you're with like four or five people, one person is going to the bar to buy a round for the entire group because it's like a pay as you go thing. There's no tabs in Ireland. So it's just a quick go, go, go. But then you all have to take your turn. So it's not that somebody's just like treating you to a pint. Next time is going to be your turn.
Yeah. The, the people that drink faster end up buying more rounds. Because
no one's complaining.
Yeah, I know.
It is, because let's get, keep this going, because I'm sure they're
it's
like...
easier on the bartenders, too, because it's like, what do you want? And it's like, three Guinness and a Bomers, and then they're going. And then they can move on to the next thing, and it's just, it helps everyone out.
I feel like my close circle groups, you get your round in.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, that's where it comes from. Like, you have to get your round in, specifically in the evening, because of the logistics of it.
Yeah.
But that keeping, like, tabs of, oh, someone else got a round, you get your round in with everybody. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone's going
One more quick thing. Sorry. If you're looking for trad music in Dublin, it's going to be tough. For some reason, most of the Dublin bars, especially in Temple Bar, you're going to find that the musicians are solo acoustic singer-songwriters doing covers. It is not trad stuff.
Because that fits into Irish pub culture around the world. When we were in Mexico, went to an Irish pub. It was a guy... from Nashville, singing cover tunes.
Sure.
Like, that is the vibe in the international Irish pubs that just happen to be in Dublin are the same way.
Do you know Jimmy Koo?
The name sounds
funny. He was with Andrew W.K.
Yes.
He's a friend of John Fields, and he came to the studio once we were talking about this, because he's in Dublin now, and that's what he does. Like, I think it's like 10 gigs a week. He's just doing covers, but he also now gives tours because he's like an expert on Thin Lizzy. And he will take people on Thin Lizzy tours. This is where all of this happened.
Yes.
It's kind of amazing. But if you go west, you'll get more traditional music. If you stay in Dublin or the big cities, you're going to end up with, I don't want to say college bar music, but do you see what I'm saying?
I would say just Dublin though, because Galway and Cork, you're going to find good trad music.
That's true.
Yeah.
So just Dublin. Dublin has its own great things.
Well, Galway's a college city too. I mean,
so
does
Cork.
They do have trad music. And so does, I mean, they all have trad music, but it's funny how prevalent that is. I was not expecting it.
Yes. And that's why I know that's been the biggest thing that changed for me the second time I went to Ireland after a few years. The first time I went there looking for my expectations of it, which was the only traditional music, the Irish that I've had in my mind my whole life. And I got to Dublin and I was instantly disappointed because it's 2024 right now in Dublin and there's freaking singer-songwriters and bands doing their own things. And that's what you're going to find mainly there, just like you would in like a major city here.
Exactly.
Unless you're looking for it. Okay, speaking of your going west, you're constantly changing your routes, I'm sure.
Yep.
Where you're going. Are there places beyond, like you're probably always going to fly into Dublin, but are there other cities or towns that you would always want to hit? Like no matter how much we change up, do we have to hit these towns? Or are you kind of a hands-off, like open to change each time?
We have to force ourselves to stay away from certain towns. Yes.
Really?
Well, it's interesting because people will say, like, these are the things that I want to be sure that I hit. And it's like, there are a couple of, like, number one, two, and three towns where it's like, you're going
to... There's three. I think you and I have the same three. What are your three?
That to have to hit or that you just...
The best of...
If I could do whatever I wanted, what are the three towns we're hitting? And I think you know what they are.
Doolin.
Yep.
Galway.
Yep. And your favorite?
Cork?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Cork.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Galway, Doolin, and Cork. I mean,
Doolin and Cork, I haven't been to.
I would do the triad any chance.
Is that up north?
No, it's a little bit south of Galway.
Okay.
It's like an hour from Galway. So Galway's right here. Yes. It's by the Cliffs of Moher right here.
Okay.
But it's like, it's got like four or five pubs. It's like a
Cork
town of like
down here.
Very few. It has a lot of like tourism bus that will stop, you know, they'll see the Cliffs of Moher, they'll stop for lunch and then they'll keep going. But the
mistake.
There's a couple of pubs that are just like the best pubs in Ireland.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh,
McDermott's, McGann's.
We'll always like want to explore new places because I was really pressing for Waterford the last time we were there, and Waterford quickly became one of my favorite places in Ireland.
Really?
Like,
you can't get Muldoon anywhere else.
Muldoon is this little liqueur.
We don't have any left, do we?
Muldoon.
It's this liqueur that's only made in this region of Ireland. We went to the Dublin airport.
What?
And a couple of...
M-U-L.
It's like a butterscotchy liqueur. It's like dessert. Man. It's so good. But they only...
I've never heard of it. Crazy. Yeah,
because you can only buy it there. I think there are a couple of places that export it, so you could probably get it shipped for a decent amount. But it's so...
We would never have known
about this if it weren't for Waterford.
Yeah, you total butterscotch.
Yeah.
Toffee.
It's just, yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, it's like candy. Yeah. It's like Christmas day dessert.
See, Sarah and I are like you guys where it's I'm traveling. Sometimes someone's like, why did you go there? And I'm like, well, because I wanted to see what drinks they have over there. What are they drinking over there? It's like, I want to see, what are you doing? I want to travel stomach first. And the taste is like, what does this town taste like? What's the thing I can only get here?
Yeah.
Has unlocked the world for me.
For
with
sure.
With that, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, assuming, just a couple more. So assuming that you love you love every town in Ireland, what are like the ones you've been to that you'd be like, I don't need to go to a second time. Like I saw it. Is there anything that fits in it? Like I'm glad I went, so I kind of went there, but it's not something I'll prioritize going back.
I feel bad because I feel like it's like do we stick
away from negative? Maybe we stick away from negative.
I think it's fair. Like if
or
people
overrated,
are
worth a visit.
But give me that. Overrated and underrated. Give me that.
Worth a visit, but you wouldn't want to maybe stay in that town.
Oh, even better. Yes.
So Cove, I think, fits that.
Cove is like a 30-minute train ride outside of Cork.
And yes.
There's very famous pictures of these beautiful houses. It was the last port of the Titanic. There's a lot of kind of like if you're interested in specific things, it's a good visit. We also happened to visit it on a particularly... poor weather day where we were miserable.
Yes, because there's magical poor weather days.
Right.
And kill me right now. I'm staying
in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cove, I think, would fit that. And Blarney, I think, is another one that we're like.
Then I think you're right. It's worth a visit, not worth a super long stay. Like Blarney, you can accomplish in an afternoon.
Sure. And it's gorgeous. I'm sorry. Blarney Castle.
I'm writing this down.
The grounds are stunning. It's a beautiful thing to go see.
We've got some cute shopping centers, some great pubs, but it's not. It's like it's a stop along the way for sure. I would maybe say like Sligo is a beautiful part of the country, and there are some really great pubs. There's consistently one of the best ranked pubs in Ireland in Sligo, and we had a couple of days there, and it was a lot of fun. I think I would visit it again. I don't think I would necessarily make it like a duration stay. It would probably be a stop along the way.
We could have an overnight there and it would be fine, but I wouldn't want to. We were there for what, three days?
Yeah, we were there for quite a while,
so maybe we wouldn't do 3 days this time. What was it? Was it Kinsale? No,
Killarney.
Killarney.
But also kind of depending on what your motivation is, because my mother loved Killarney. And I'm like, I'm fine. Because it feels like, it felt like one of the towns that was like gearing up for tourists and like ready to be accommodating to out-of-towners, which there's nothing wrong with that. But it felt a little bit like you had to kind of dig a little bit deeper to find like the authentic parts of Ireland underneath
but it's also right next to a national park. So if you're into hiking and nature and stuff, it's at the entrance of something absolutely stunning. So it just sort of depends on what you're into.
That Killarney makes me think of, it almost reminds me of New Ulm a little bit. Like New Ulm's a very German, like you come down here and it's like even the locals, like you live in Minneapolis, you come down for the German things and they've got their shtick, but they have their kind of like that there's school there, mm-hmm. but also they know a bunch of tourists for the Ring of Kerry are coming through.
Sure.
So it is a little bit harder to find.
It's like Stillwater. Didn't we say that?
Yes,
we
actually.
Felt like it was like sort
the,
of like.
But like the very, I mean, I
Stillwater. That's perfect.
Love Stillwater.
Yeah.
And what? I yeah. will have an afternoon in Stillwater all the time. I wouldn't do a week in Stillwater. You know, I do like yes. an overnight or maybe a weekend.
Okay.
But like not gonna, you know.
I love that I'm doing one of my very first segment of this with you guys because it's making me realize, oh, I want to fine tune like questions that are asked every time.
Yeah.
And you made me think of, I think it's good. This is just a side note. Like I don't want to do the negative
yeah.
thing, but I love your thought of what's a place you'd visit, but wouldn't spend the night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's a place that you'd visit and you have to stay the night if you're going to get the full experience. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
like Doolin, like you, yeah. like the tourists are all leaving, like Rotenburg, Germany is like that.
Mm.
You have two different experiences. If you don't get out, if you don't stay,
yeah.
when all the tourists leave and then sure. you have the city to yourself
you need
with
to
all the locals,
stay.
You have to,
you
stay,
need to stay
or you won't experience it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's end it with this then. How do I ask this? I'm wondering if Ireland has changed in your mind now that you've been there multiple times. That you grew up thinking of the magical mm-hmm. Ireland, which it is magical,
mm-hmm.
but it's also a real country. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if your mindset has changed, like you wouldn't Ooh. Have known or thought about Ireland this way.
You just triggered something in me. So I agree with you. Like we always celebrated St. Paddy's Day. My mom always made this dinner because we have a little bit of Irish in us, especially her dad. But I never knew much about the history of the country and the conflict.
Yeah.
And it was not something that was taught to me in history. So before yeah. I went to on my first trip, I was starting to learn about the Troubles and learn about all like the really complicated history of oppression that they've experienced and whatever. And I, my first extended period of time in Dublin, we went to Kilmainham Jail, and that changed my entire perspective on Ireland because it was an hour plus of the most like intense education on how traumatizing
mm.
that history must have been, not only for the people and the family of like the people who declared independence for Ireland, but also for the country who was like, no, we've decided enough is enough. And they were launched into a civil war. Mm. I did not appreciate the history. And so I think something that's very humbling for people who are visiting is to try and empathize a little bit with is that the right word? Empathize?
Sure. Well,
like educate yourself
yeah,
and like,
just to like, I think a humility, like, cause there
oh,
is
yeah,
like
no,
such
yeah.
like a, there is such a boisterously joyful pub culture thing, but also to appreciate why does it exist that way?
Mm.
And I think it's because a lot of the strife that they've had to endure to get to like where they are now, why it's such a great tourist place is because they've had to go through a lot. And so that was something that was really
and especially yeah. and especially you know, Dublin, but when you're in Belfast, it's a different level of
yes
difficulty, and you have to understand that so we over the years we sort of developed three rules for this friend group, and it's you have to be a respectful traveler, a happy drunk, and then no drama is allowed. And I think between those three rules,
yes.
which most people actually adhere to, it saves the group from the difficult conversations. You don't want to have to pull somebody aside and say, I am having a worse trip right now because you are an angry drunk or you are melodramatic or whatever it is. So we came up with these rules. I don't know. They seem to apply. They seem
yeah.
to apply for, to all of this stuff. But I totally agree with you. Like, educate yourself on why the Irish are the way that they are.
And I mean, and like, maybe
yeah.
educate yourself, but just, I think, approaching it, like remembering that you want to be a respectful traveler and that you're walking into something that's been in existence for a very, very long time. So I think like just humility and being willing to learn, because they're the friendliest, kindest people who are, and so gracious. Like I've never, like they were always like, you know, where are you from? And I say Minnesota, and they're like, oh, you know, we
the
love
Vikings.
Minnesota. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No.
Yeah,
no. It's always
right.
the Vikings.
They know
right.
all the Vikings.
And
yeah.
I
American football.
I just always, and I'm like, you know, obviously we're coming up on another election and America's in the news a lot. And so I'm never really sure like where the conversation is going to go, but like all the time, like no matter who is president at the time or where the politics are leading, they're generally like, yeah, America's always been a good friend to Ireland. And they're so receptive of people who want to be there and who want to be respectful and be a part of it. And so it just feels really special. But I think it's important for Americans to approach it with like, I have something to learn from these people, you know?
Yes. Yep. Oh, that's the perfect place then, because I feel like that it for me is the thing you just outlined, what's changed in my mindset towards travel. Even this whole conversation is perfectly outlines it. And where I started thinking, especially international travel to other cultures, is about me. Like that's for me to do a trip. Mm-hmm. But it still is about me. It's more now has every trip is the goal of better understanding how I fit into the universe.
For sure.
Like what's been going on over here, mm-hmm. even since mm-hmm. I've been born over here.
Yeah.
And to experience that and not be like an angry drunk that's like making a fool of yourself and everybody else. Because that's the deal, right? Like right. You're over here at the show. Everybody's welcome. Let's pack this house. But if you're an asshole getting drunk in the front corner, it's like then you're ruining this for all of us.
It just reminded me of the Mark Twain quote. I just pulled it up here. Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. I kind of want to get that tattoo.
Oh, that is the quote for this whole series of this. That is the new thing that's been on every single one of it. It's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's the whole point.
Yeah.
Okay. Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Cheers. Yeah. Thank you. This ruled.
You've been listening to Rob Morgan is a Curious Person. Nothing you've heard in today's episode reflects the opinions or beliefs of Guinness, Curious Endeavors, the Republic of Ireland, or anyone living or dead. Quite frankly, those who said it have probably already changed their minds, and we offer you the most sincere apologies on their behalf. Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake, and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. Visit thecuriouspod.com today or click the link in the show notes for more great crack. We hope you'll enjoy.
Meow.